your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thanks, Marianne. Well, keep your Bibles open there at Philippians chapter 2. We'll take a look shortly at that passage, but also Matthew chapter 2, which I read earlier for us. In fact, we'll start there at Matthew chapter 2, and then we'll go on to Philippians 2. But the readings will be up on the screen when they need to be, I hope. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the Bible. And as we look at these two passages this morning, we pray that we will know you more and that we'll be reminded of your love for us as we celebrate the precious gift of your Son Jesus, graciously given to us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. And I'm so sorry, but you probably really wanted to finish the song, but I've just told you you're not allowed to sing. We've traveled so far. I feel like Stu Plaisted standing up here and singing while I'm preaching. They traveled so far. The three kings, or the three wise men, the three magi. I wonder how far they travelled. It's hard to know. We don't really know if there were three of them. I'm pretty sure that they weren't kings. Sorry to burst your bubble if it's one of your favourite songs. But we do know that they brought three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very expensive and very significant gifts. And without any form of powered transport, they travelled quite slowly, a very, very long way. Some say possibly 1,000 kilometres. That's 600 miles, or 1,200 miles there and back. Most likely even more, since Matthew 2 verse 12 says that they actually came back the long way. It's like going from Sydney to Brisbane up the coast and then back again via Tamworth. It's a long, long way to travel, especially 2,000 years ago on a horse or a camel, on pretty ordinary roads. And you reckon Lismore roads are bad? Actually, Lismore roads are bad. They travelled so far following the light of a star. 600 miles there and even further back home. They travelled so far to see Jesus. It was a little over the proclaimer's lofty claim of walking 500 miles and 500 more just to see the one they love. I was going to sing that one for you this morning, but I couldn't get the accent down pat. I said, I could. That doesn't matter. 1,000 miles to see the one you love. And it seems, according to the proclaimers, and history tells us here in Matthew chapter 2, the wise men thought that it was worth travelling all that way. And when they finally arrived, what's the first thing they did? Did they take a load off their feet and demand a refreshing drink? No. You see, the story isn't about the travellers and it's not about their journey. That's why the whole journey, there's no details about it. It's one verse. Because it's not about them. Matthew chapter 2 verse 11 says, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh." They were sent on a very, very long journey from King Herod, who actually had evil intentions. But when they finally arrived, Matthew chapter 2 verse 10 says they were overjoyed. I'm sure they were pleased that their journey was finally over, or they were halfway there at least. But much more than that, they were overjoyed to see Jesus. These men of prominent position humbled themselves before Jesus and they bowed down and worshipped him. They travelled so far and it was worth it because Jesus is worth it. How far would you travel to see the one you love? Well, I attempted to sing We Three Kings earlier. Don't worry, I won't do it again. But I love the line in the song, which has the travellers looking toward the star saying, "Guide us to your perfect light." See, it's not the twinkling light of the star that they were interested in. It was the light that the star pointed to, a far greater light. The perfect light laying in a manger. A precious baby boy in an animal feed trough in a stinky stable. You see, these wise men, well, they weren't the only ones who had travelled so far on that first Christmas. Jesus, the baby born in a dirty stable in a small town 2,000 years ago, to a teenage girl, a virgin, pledged to be married to an ordinary bloke called Joseph. This baby, Jesus, had travelled so far. The perfect light that the Magi were drawn to wasn't the light of the star, but the light of the world. And that's how Jesus is described by John in his gospel. Jesus, the light of the world, the light who came into darkness to save us. True light. And though the translation, the light of the world, seems limited, what John means is that Jesus is the ultimate light. The perfect light, the light of everything. Jesus is the true light of all. And that's who this baby lying in a manger was. The perfect light of the world. A gracious gift for the world from God. That's how far he travelled. From God. 500 miles? 1,000? 1 billion? Trillion? It can't be measured. Jesus travelled an immeasurable distance from heaven to earth. A distance that was caused by our separation from God, caused by our sin. That's how we found ourselves at such a vast distance from God. We rejected the giver of life and we separated ourselves from him, causing all of the pain and the darkness and death that surrounds us. I think you'll agree that you don't have to look too far to see the brokenness in the world. If you're struggling to see the effects of sin, then you're really not paying attention. You certainly mustn't be looking at me and my life. Or maybe you've just gone to sleep. Jesus entered into our broken world, broken by my sin and yours. He came so far to be with us. In our second passage this morning, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 describes Jesus as being in very nature God. He had all the power and authority of God, and yet he humbled himself and became a man. From the heights of heaven, the perfect light, the King of all creation, came down to us. He travelled so far. And though Jesus was and always had been God the Son, being in very nature God, Philippians 2 verse 7 says, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, he had travelled so far. But he actually came with a purpose. With the purpose to go even further. Because he came to deal with our sin. To deal with the brokenness in the world. To pay the price for our sin on our behalf. In order to bring us back into a right relationship with God. He came so far to rescue us and bring us back across that immeasurable gap between us and our Creator God. The eternal Son of God became a human being. And he wasn't born in a palace as a human king or with political power, but he was born in humble circumstances. From the nature of God to the nature of a servant. A servant. Believe it. For you and for me. Having already come so far to be with us, take a look at verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself as a servant, and even further to death on a cross. And he did it because it was the only way to save us. It was the only way to pay for our sin. He paid the price for our sin and darkness, and he gave up his life out of love for you and for me. That baby in the manger, the Son of God, the King of Kings, had come down so far from the highest of highs. And he would willingly go to the deepest of depths, to death on a cross. Why? Why would the God of the universe send his perfect Son into the world? Why would Jesus, the King of everything, willingly become a human being? Why would the Creator of the universe come down and become like his creation, just so that he could die? Well, he did it for us. He travelled so far for love. You might be planning a long trip this Christmas to see the ones you love. The Proclaimers would walk 500 miles and 500 more for love. The Magi walked even longer distances or travelled on camels just to get a glimpse of Jesus, to worship him. But the King of all creation, Jesus our Saviour, came so, so far for love. He crossed the chasm between us and God, that chasm that had been created by our sin that we couldn't cross, separating us from God. He came and crossed it. God proved his love for us by the lengths that he went to bring us out of the darkness of sin, the darkness of this broken world, and to bring us into his light, to give us his light and his life as children of God with him for eternity. You see, we could never ever bridge the gap. Jesus bridged the gap that we could never bridge, the gap that we could never ever be good enough to cross. We could never invent any kind of method of traveling far enough to undo our sin. Only Jesus could do it for us. Our sin had to be paid for. And it could only be paid for by a perfect sacrifice, the Son of God himself, dying in our place. The one and only God of the universe loves you that much that he would go to such great lengths to save you. Well, as we think about our travel plans this Christmas, or loved ones who will travel to see us, or even as we might be sitting in disappointment that we can't travel. Maybe your travel plans have been cooked by COVID. Either way, let's celebrate the good news that our Lord Jesus traveled so, so far to save us out of love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious gift of Jesus. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son into the world to save us from sin and death. Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you that we're reminded of the lengths that you went to give us life through Jesus, your perfect light, your perfect Son, who came into our dark world to conquer our sin by his own death. And he conquered death by his resurrection and now lives and reigns as our King. Thank you that he shares his glory with us by your amazing grace. Thank you for coming so, so far for us. And it's in the mighty and everlasting name of Jesus we pray. Amen.